I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Ladies and gentlemen, at that time, we had John Ossoff, former congressional candidate, gave a remarkable competitive run against Karen Handel. And as I've said before, if you do not have a John Ossoff, you cannot have a Lucy McBath as a current congressperson. And she has even said that he developed infrastructure in that district and made people realize the district is actually winnable. John Ossoff has another career. And it is a sad occasion, but we're going to talk about it. I have John in the studio. John, how are you?
Appreciate it. Good to be here, Rasan.
Good to have you. Wish it was under better circumstances.
Well, so do I. But yeah. But thank you for giving me some attention to the issue.
Let's talk about what happened, and then I want you to give some background as to what you do and what these journalists do.
You know, as you know, I run a company that produces investigations, investigative content for television broadcasters all over the world. And the last few years, we've worked in Africa, Latin America, the Middle East. We focus on investigations of organized crime, political corruption, and war crimes. And we teamed up with a longtime colleague of mine named Anas Arameo Anas. He's a Ghanaian journalist in West Africa who famously has never shown his face in public. He's an undercover journalist. And he and his team had launched a multi-year undercover investigation of corruption in soccer. And this started at a low level, referees, slowly built its way up to higher and higher level referees.
Unpack that a little bit. We're talking about officials willing
to
take money.
We're talking about officials taking bribes to award penalties, fix matches, all the way from low-level club soccer to a World Cup referee, someone who was scheduled to officiate in Moscow, who was caught secretly filmed by undercover journalists taking an illegal payment. And this investigation eventually wound its way all the way to a member of the FIFA Council. This is the supreme global governing body for the sport of soccer around the world, who, while being secretly filmed, proposed a multi-million dollar bribery scheme to try to illicitly sell infrastructure contracts in Ghana. We broke this news for the BBC and about a dozen African television broadcasters just as the World Cup was getting ready to kick off in Moscow. And there was a big fuss. I remember you when you interviewed me, I was in Accra, Ghana, because we were rolling that out. And we had a lot of security concerns at the time and a lot of threats against folks who were involved at the time. Things cooled off. People went back about their daily lives. And then 1 month ago, one of the lead investigators on this project, Ahmed Hussein Swale, who's worked with us on this project, he worked with us on a project in Malawi last year, worked with us over the years, was gunned down in his car leaving his family home just outside Accra, Ghana, by unknown gunmen. And so I was in Ghana last week to attend the memorial.
Wow. Any leads yet?
Well, the Ghanaian police made a few arrests, but they were also quickly released, and it's unclear whether those arrests were real or whether they were made to present the illusion of action. The president of Ghana has stated publicly that he wants to bring the killers to justice. International community, members of U.S. Congress, the U.N., have all made similar calls for justice. We'll see if justice is done. That's one of the key questions here. Will there be impunity for powerful people who, when they are exposed stealing, kill? Now, we don't know who did it, but we have credible suspicions.
Tell me about the credible suspicion. Who do you think did it?
Well, on the eve of the broadcast, and this documentary, as I said, went out on the BBC globally, went out on about 12 African television channels, Ahmed received a phone call from Kwesi Nyantechi, the member of the FIFA Council who was exposed in the investigation. And Mr. Nyantechi threatened Ahmed's life on that call. Around this same time, one of Mr. Nyantechi's allies, a member of parliament in Ghana named Kennedy Ajapong, imagine this, is equivalent of a member of Congress here in the United States, who owns a TV channel, put Ahmed's photo up on the screen. This is an undercover journalist. Put Ahmed's photo up on the screen, broadcast his whereabouts, and said publicly he would pay for violence targeting this journalist.
Wow.
6-7 months later, the journalist is killed.
Why is there no repercussion? Because there are crimes, there are criminal statutes, there are court remedies. When somebody puts a hit out on another person, why is there no criminal statute to look for and arrest the individual?
Well, I'm not familiar enough with Ghanaian law to say what laws may have been broken in the course of making those threats, in the course of calling for violence. It would not surprise me if those acts themselves were illegal. And I also got to be careful here. We don't know who killed Ahmed. What we do know is that people threatened his life.
Right.
And we know that politician put his picture up on TV and called for violence against him. So, you know, that leads us to have credible suspicion about who may be behind it. But we have to let the investigation play out, and we have to bring as much pressure to bear as possible on the authorities in Ghana to ensure that the investigation is followed wherever it may lead, even if that means powerful people are held to account.
We got more on the other side. 404-892-2703. I'm here with John Ossoff, News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Still in the studio with John Ossoff, who runs a company, CEO Insight, CEO of Insight TWI, name of his company, Insight TWI. And you guys provide protection, right?
Well, we provide production services.
Production
and
services.
And investigative services. So what we do is we make documentary films on the basis of journalistic investigations, and we sell them to international broadcasters. So we sell them to dozens of channels all over the world. In the last couple of years, we've investigated this story, corruption in international soccer. We've investigated war crimes committed by ISIS. We've investigated war crimes committed by international peacekeepers. We've investigated contract killers in northern Malawi. In the last couple of years, produced a series in Latin America featuring local investigative reporters exposing crime and corruption in their own backyards. So we try to work with local journalists who don't have access to international media. They don't have access to the kind of reach and the kind of power that an organization, for example, like the BBC provides. We assist them with their investigation, assist them with the production of content, kind of connect the dots and network local reporters with the rest of the world in order to make sure that the truth gets out.
Are you all strapped?
I don't like to get into some of the specific
G14 classified, I understand.
Some of the specific security provisions, but we do take precautions.
Right.
And
it's dangerous what you guys do.
When there are people who are determined, you know, in Ahmed's case.
Yeah.
In Ghana recently, when there are powerful people who are determined to hurt you, short of disappearing, there's only so much you can do. But as I mentioned, my colleague Anas, people should look this up, Anas Arameo Anas, a Ghanaian undercover reporter. We've worked with him for over a decade, and he never shows his face in public, has never shown his face in public, precisely so that he can do the undercover work that he does and not live in fear.
Yeah. Let me bring this home for a minute, because we're talking about a foreign government basically putting a hit out on a journalist because they did not like what the journalist was able to uncover.
Well, let me forgive me for interrupting you, but it was a politician.
A politician.
A specific politician.
A politician, yes, that worked for the government. But a politician did this. John, we have a politician that kind of does that here. He's not putting hits out on reporters, but he's coming damn close. The things he says about reporters and what should happen, saying they should have penalty, there should be repercussions to these reporters. And it's a constant barrage of insults, criticisms, and some could interpret it to be even assault demands from the president of the United States. What do you say to that?
Well, you look at tyrants and authoritarian leaders throughout history. They always talk about the fake news, the lying press, journalists as enemies of the people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that what some folks here in the United States don't realize is that those words ring out around the world.
Sure.
And the U.S. government has a checkered history when it comes to support for democracy and human rights. But in the United States, at least human rights and democracy have always been on the agenda.
It's part of the conversation.
They've always been on the agenda. That's not true in a lot of parts of the world. And when you have political leadership here in America that has overt contempt for the press, for human rights, for those principles, that has an effect that goes beyond our borders, that empowers people who want to use that to justify their own perverse and destructive tendencies at home.
Let me ask you about Ahmed Hussein
Swale.
What kind of person was he?
He was a quiet guy, as a lot of undercover reporters are. He was able to blend in, not attract attention, do his work safely. He was a devout Muslim. He was a diligent father and husband. He was a professional journalist who had worked at the highest level for some of the most prestigious news organizations in the world. And his death is a major blow, not just to Ghanaian society, not just to West African societies, not just to the African continent, but to global journalism.
What can people do?
People need to stand up for journalists who are putting themselves out there, taking risks to report the truth, and at the same time demand that our own press here at home try to live up to those same standards. You know, one of the interesting things that I've learned doing this work around the world is that we spend so much time focused on nonsense in the press here in America that we don't do enough investigation of crime and corruption here at home. And unless we have hard-hitting investigative reporting holding power to account here in America, the people here are not going to know the truth about what's going on, how their money's being spent, what's being done on their behalf, what's happening right under our noses. What's happening with criminal justice?
Yeah.
What your city council, what your mayor, what your members of Congress, what your U.S. senators are doing on your behalf, and who's paying them to do it.
Well said. John, I wish I had more time. People can find your op-ed. We're going to post this interview online as well. Where can they find your op-ed?
So we published an op-ed in the Washington Post last week on this subject. If they Google my name, John Ossoff, Washington Post, Ghana, they'll find the op-ed. And you can find the documentary about corruption in soccer, Betraying the Game, on YouTube.
My man, you do some very dangerous but much, much needed work. We are thankful to have you out there doing it.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, man. Oh, yeah. All right. All right. We got one more call. We got Cliff in Connecticut. Cliff, good day. Welcome.
You know what? You know what, Brother Richie? I just want to just probably elaborate or just expound off of that or your guess. So in terms of United States, does this exist, and what ethnic group will be the one in power if the same thing does perhaps exist here in America in terms of the media, in terms of fake news? Who has the power? Who controls the media here in America?
All right. Thank you, brother. Appreciate your call. John, he's asking who controls the media.
Dangerous question. Complicated question. Look, one of the things that saddens me, having done some of the work that I've been doing, is that the United States, for all of its wealth and all of its power, does not have the most potent, aggressive, credible, hardest-hitting investigative press in the world. You know, we work for the BBC frequently, the British Broadcasting Corporation, which has global reach, is globally respected, is breaking stories, is empowering journalists and societies all over the world. Why don't we have that in America? Why are public media starved for resources here in America? What we have in the United States is mostly corporate media. Mm-hmm. And corporate media chases the dollar, not the truth.
Very well said. Brother, we got to get you back on the show to talk about that. I'm actually lecturing at Clark Atlanta University on Wednesday about corporate media and how corporate media has transformed the meaning of biased, unbiased journalism.
And Rashad, can you tell folks how they can find out more about that?
Yes.
Clark Atlanta?
Right. Wait, Clark Atlanta University?
There you go. Yeah. How can folks find out more about your upcoming appearance?
How can they? I don't know how.
I'm assuming. You tell them. Clark Atlanta University.
Right. Where are you going to be at? I'm going to be in the mass comm department.
There you go.
Yeah. I'm going to be in the mass comm department with Professor Maynard Eaton, who is a remarkable guy. He has like 6 Emmys. Damn it, I just want an Emmy nomination. Man, don't mess around and let me get an Emmy nomination.
Oh, yeah.
You think I act light-skinned right now? mess around and let me get an Emmy nomination. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate you, brother.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.